If you're in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, for the sake of time, and because I don't want you to have to listen to me read the entire chapter, I'm not going to read it all, but can I kind of give you a synopsis? This is a familiar story. This is that great story of David and Goliath. And could I just kind of give you a synopsis, and we'll read a few sections of passages as we walk through this chapter, but remind you of what takes place in this great story. The Philistines, the enemies of God, they had found themselves a man. They had found a man to stand up for them, and he was a giant of a man. I mean, a giant of a man. Actually, his name has become synonymous with things that are abnormally large. Goliath. And you'll see that as a title or a name given to different things that are the Goliath of anything else, because it's bigger and larger than anything else. This man was their champion. And he was as mean as a junkyard dog on a hot summer day. This Goliath. And he stood up there day after day and defied the God of Israel and challenged Israel to a fight, and he stood up there and mocked them over and over again. Not only was he a large man, but he was covered in armor. His coat of mail was weighed over 5,000 shekels of brass. That in today's weights is somewhere exceeding 125 pounds. Just his coat of mail, not his shield, not his other armor, not any other pieces of his armor, but just that. The Bible says that his staff and spear was like a beam. The shaft of his spear and the staff he carried was like a beam. It was described as a beam. On his spear, the tip of his spear weighed 16 pounds. Could you imagine trying to throw something described as a beam with 16 pounds on the end of it? I mean, how far could you really chuck that? Certainly, I mean, you wouldn't even have to hit anything directly with it. You could just turn it sideways. And I mean, that heavy of a thing would be quite destructive. He was a very large and a very strong man. And he stood up day after day and defied the children of Israel and their God. He challenged them. Look in verse number 9. We're going to read a couple of verses here. He says, "If he be able to fight with me, to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Here's where David begins to enter the picture. You know, David is a young man here, and he's actually out caring for the sheep, his family's sheep. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes it's not your time yet. Sometimes it's not your day yet, and your day will come. But David was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was there actively taking care of his father's sheep, and he was called upon. And you remember, David's older brothers had gone to battle. David's older brothers had gone in. They followed Saul into battle. They were there in the Valley of Elah with Saul and everybody else. And you remember how David's father called him and said, "Hey, come in. Come here. I want you to take this cheese to your brothers." And mostly, I think his dad wanted to find out how his other sons were doing. He said, "Find out how they fare. Let's get a report for me and come back and tell me what's going on there in the battle." So David rises early and he heads off to the Valley of Elah, where the Israelites and the Philistines are set in battle one against the other. I have here what I grabbed very quickly right before we started. As I was reading through my notes, I thought of this. I've been to the Valley of Elah. And here in this plaque is five stones that were collected by my brother when we were there. So five stones that he picked up off the bed or the in the bottom of the Valley of Elah there, where David and Goliath actually fought. And these were brought back, and now this hangs here in our prophet's chamber where we have guest speakers and such. But the title here is Nothing is Impossible with God. These stones collected on June 15th, 2009 from the Valley of Elah. You know, this is from that place where this battle took place, where David went to find out how things are going. Look down in verse number 23, in chapter 17, and verse number 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now every one of these men, the king's men, turned and went the other way. For 40 days, Goliath has been standing up day after day, and he says, "Hey, isn't there a man among you? Come on, somebody come out and fight me." And he mocked and made fun of them. Then David heard it, and he asked those challenging words. He says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David's brothers, hearing him say that, came to him, and his brothers were mad at him. Of course, it made them look a little bad. You know, they'd been running and turning tail and going the other way. And he says, "Who is this Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God?" And David's brother says, "What are you doing here? You aren't supposed to be here. You're supposed to be home. Who have you left those sheep with? Oh, you've neglected your responsibility. You just came to see the battle." And David says those most familiar of words, where he says unto them, "Is there not a cause?" He says, "Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason for why I've come?" In verse number 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of a lion and out of the paw of a bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." You see, David said, "Is there not a cause?" Word gets back to Saul that this boy had decided that somebody should fight. And he said, "I'll go. I'll go fight him." And he says, "Who is this boy?" So he calls him in unto him and gets into his presence. And verse number 33, he says, "And Saul said unto David, Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now, I'm not preaching on this thought, but it's a thought Pastor Derek and I and Pastor Gus have kicked around recently, and why we've made some changes in our youth ministry here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. Many times, young people that have grown up in church aren't ready to do battle. Saul says to David, "You can't fight him. You're just a youth." And here, this man has been a man of war from his youth. From the time that Goliath was a youth, he was fighting battles. You know, we're doing our young people an injustice when we keep them out of the battle. We're doing our young people an injustice, and we're not preparing them for life and preparing them for what God has for them when we don't let them get into the battle some. So we're trying to, at Hunt Valley Baptist Church, to get the young people engaged, to try and get them enlisted in the battle a little bit here and there, so that they can be prepared when the battle comes for them. But what they did not know, what Saul did not know, was that God had prepared David for the battle. And that's what we read in verse number 37. He says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Okay, go ahead. Lord be with you. Let me know how it goes." He sends him ahead. He says, "Go ahead." But of course, you know the story, how David, it goes on, and Saul says, "Why don't you have my armor?" And the story continues, but I'm going to pause there. This was kind of foundational introduction to prepare you for the thought this morning. What I want to give you some thoughts here on the idea of how to face the giants. facing the giants in your life. How do you face these giants and be victorious? We're just going to learn a few simple lessons from this passage of Scripture about David when he faced Goliath. And you see, a couple of weeks ago in the evening one night, one of my sons came to me and he asked me some questions about his life and about some of the giants that he was facing, some of the battles that he was dealing with. And he was wondering why it's so hard. And I shared with him some of these thoughts from this passage of Scripture about how to be victorious and trying to encourage him in the battles that he was facing. And I want to share these thoughts with you today. First of all, I want you to realize that the victorious are so when they're young. The victorious are victorious when they're young. Look in verse number 14, 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 14. He says, "And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul." David was the youngest of them. And, you know, we just read the passage where Saul said, "You can't go into battle. Why, you're just a youth. You're just a young man. You can't do this." What I want you to know is that David knew God's will for his life. David knew that he was going to be a king, that that's what God wanted him to do, but he had to fight some battles before he could ever become king. He had some wars that he had to win. Excuse me, before he could ever become king. You know, he had some giants that he had to face. You know, that in the Bible, there's other young people, young people that face giants. I think of Joseph. You know, Joseph was just a teen when he was sold into slavery. He had to face that tremendous battle as such a young man. What do we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We call them the three Hebrew children. They were actually young men, but what I'm saying is they were young when they were faced with such a hard battle, such a hard decision to choose to stand in face of being put into a fiery furnace. Daniel was just a young man when he stood and prayed, even though it would cost him being put into the lion's den. You learn how to have victories later in life when you win victories now. You see, David had learned how to beat the giant because David had already beat the lion and the bear. He had already won the battle with the lion and the bear. He had defeated them. Young men and young ladies need to learn how to win the battle when they're young. You're going to face the biggest giants you're going to face when you're young. The biggest struggles you're going to face in your life, I believe, you face them when you're young. Because the devil wants to take you out when you're young. The battles of life are many times won or lost in the heart. We've got to be careful how we think and how what we're thinking or how we what we believe. Mom and Dad, your young people are right now fighting the biggest battles of their life. You need to hang in there with them. Don't give up on them yet. I know it's a struggle. Those teen years are hard. Those transition years are battles. Young people, you need to be victorious. You need to win the battle over a lion and over a bear. You need to win some battles in your life and be victorious. And we could say the lion of having your own personal walk with God. You're never going to beat the giant that's going to come a little bit later if you don't first win the battle of walking with the Lord. You're never going to beat the bear that comes after the lion if you don't first learn how to say no to sin. The possibility of beating the giant is rooted and found in the little victories that you win each day. It gives you the faith, it gives you the strength, it gives you the determination to be able to win the victory in the great battle because you've already won some smaller battles. Now, I don't know that beating a lion or a bear is necessarily a small battle. But I suppose in comparison to facing Goliath, it was. But even as a young man, he faced Goliath. And just like young men, young ladies face the biggest battles they're going to face in their life. Listen, I know this from my own life. My hardest struggles, the biggest battles I fought in my mind and in my heart, I fought as a young man. Once I had made some decisions, once I had won some victories in my life and got past that 20, 22, 23 years old, it does get easier, young people. It does get easier. If you have some victories, it does get easier. There's things for me, many things that aren't a temptation for me. They aren't a burden for me. They're not a struggle for me. I've won that battle. It's no longer a temptation for me. It's no longer something I'm dealing with. But as a young man, it was hard. And it could have taken me out. But I stayed in. And you know, just like a young man or young lady faces the biggest battles when they're young, I believe a young Christian faces the biggest battles they're going to face in their Christian life when they're young in the Lord. Because they're newly saved. And the devil wants to take them out before they have an opportunity to make any impact for eternity. Before they have an opportunity to do anything to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Before their testimony could influence anybody else. They want to take them out. The devil wants to take them out. So the devil will come after very strong, a young Christian. And you know, if you are a first generation Christian, if you got saved a little later in life, you know the battles that took place in your heart when you first got saved. Man, why are you going to church? What a waste of time. I shouldn't bother with it. Why would you read the Bible? There's nothing in there for you. Where does that battle come from in our heart and mind? Why bother reading it? What? Is there a battle in your mind when you go to pick up the newspaper? Boy, I really need to read that. No, I don't want to read that. Oh, but I should read it. No, I don't want to read it. Is that battle? Is there anything else that you do that, you know, sit down and watch the news? You have that battle in your heart and mind. Boy, I really need to watch the news, but I don't want to. No. Why? But this is a spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of evil and darkness. That battle takes place, and it takes the strongest battles are when they're young in the Lord. Christians, we need to be there for young Christians. We need to encourage them and help them and let them know that it does get easier. Those of you that have been saved a long time, doesn't it get easier? In Job 17:17, I believe, it says, "He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." That was a transformative verse for me in my life. In my own devotional walk with God, God showed me that. And if you have clean hands, you shall be stronger and stronger. Every day that I can walk purely before God, I gain strength. I get a little stronger. And it gets a little easier to win the battles that are coming my way. The victorious use proven equipment. Look down in chapter 17 and verse number 38 and 39. The story continues a little further, and Saul's ready to arm David with all of his armor. But he says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him." Saul said, "Hey, you're going to go into battle. You need to put on all this armor. You need to have my sword and take my helmet and go into battle. And I'll bet you that was the best of the best armor available that day." But David said, after he had it on, he's like, "I can't go into battle with all this." He said, "I haven't proved any of this. I haven't tested any of this. I'm going to go fight this guy. I can't take all this stuff. I don't know. All I know is what I've done in the past. And I had a sling and I had God and we were out in the field. There's just him and I. So I guess that's the way I'm going to do it this time. He used proven equipment. Hey, what does the old saying go? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what David said. Listen, I'm sure that armor's good stuff, but I haven't proved it. I don't know that it's going to work. And what I do know, what I have, does work. I'm going to take what I've got, the stuff that's proven, and I'm going to use that. You know, I was talking to somebody this week about, have you seen these billboards around? They say things like, not your grandpa's church. Yeah, or they say, not the church, not church the way it used to be. I want to put up a billboard for Hunt Valley Baptist Church that says, church the way it used to be. Or this is your granddad's church. Just put it out there. Let everybody know that this is an old-fashioned church that holds to old-fashioned values. And listen, there's a lot of newfangled ministry opportunities and there's a lot of things out there that you can do to try and bring a crowd in. Why don't we just stick with what's proven? With what's worked in the past, with the old-fashioned biblical values that transformed and changed lives. It's not about bringing in a bunch of people. It's about God meeting with us and God speaking to our hearts and changing us from the inside out. And if we're going to do that one person at a time, then that's fine with me. Because we're going to use the proven equipment, the methods that are given to us in the Word of God. And we try and use technology and we try and embrace methods that don't change this book. If we can do it without walking away from God, then we can do it. If there's ideas out there that will be effective in reaching the world, hey, I was talking to you today. Get on social media. Get on Facebook. Forward these things. Use it next door. Whatever method we can use to get the word out. Amen? But we're not going to change this or what God wants. We've got to stick with the proven equipment, the things that we know work. I know there's a lot of versions out there, but I know that this old King James version works. This was a part of and instrumental in every great movement of God, and at least the last four or five great movements of God, and maybe in every movement of God and every revival in history. It works. If it ain't broke, hey, prayer and fasting still works. We don't need another program. We don't need another method to try and get something done. We need God's power. And prayer and fasting still works. Walking with God still works. Hey, raising your kids according to the Word of God still works. I know there's a lot of new ideas about how to raise kids and a lot of psychology out there about what you need to do. Everything's got to be positive. The results of that are very evident. I don't know. You know, evangelism still works. One-on-one evangelism. You know, there was one guy in the Word of God that tried lifestyle evangelism. You remember him? His name was Lot. He didn't win his city. Not only did he lose his city, but he lost his family. One-on-one evangelism still works. Just being a friend and presenting the gospel to another friend still works. So what I'm saying is use the proven equipment. Don't try and get. You want to be victorious in the battle that you're facing? Don't try and get online and Google the latest methods and watch all the YouTube videos about how to deal with your situation. Use the proven equipment. Go to the Word of God. I know they've got videos about everything. And a lot of those people, I'll just tell you, they're quacks. I mean, if you want to listen to a 13-year-old tell you how not to be depressed, it's just, there's videos out there put out there by, I mean, anybody with a microphone. And just because it's online, it's got to be true, right? We have the Word of God. And it's proven to transform lives. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Use the proven equipment. Not only that, the victorious, they rely on God. Look at verse number 43. Verse number 43 of chapter 17. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defied. David relied on God for the victory. The victorious rely on God for the victory. David realized that it was not him, that it was God that gave this. David didn't come down there declaring his superior strength, his great intellect, his superior weaponry. He had a sling. He didn't come down there talking about his previous experiences, his successes that he gained on his own. I remember talking to a pastor many years ago now, but I remember it like it was yesterday. The pastor looked at me with tears running down his face, and he said, I've just about lost my last son. He's ready to walk away from God. I don't know what to do. And he got down on his knees there in front of me, and he began to pray and cry out to God, and he confessed his sin of pride. He said, I'm a pastor, and I've raised my other kids for God. They're serving God. They're doing right. And I thought that I could do it. But now I've almost lost my oldest son, my youngest son. He's ready to walk away from God. He turned back to God. And by God's grace, that pastor's son is in the ministry today. That pastor's son is serving the Lord. But the pastor had almost lost him, and he said, I thought I could do it. You see, what he was saying is, I forgot it wasn't me, it was God. I thought, oh, I did good with this one and this one. I've got this figured out. I'm doing all right. And sometimes Christians, we experience some victories in our life and we think, oh, we've got this figured out. And we forget that it's God that gave us the victory. It's God that helped us through that. It's God that provided and met those needs. Oh, I earned that money. Yes, but how did you have strength to earn that money? How did you have wisdom to earn that money? How did you have the means to do it? God is the one that provided these things for us. And we get puffed up and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Sometimes God's got to just bring us down to put us back into a right relationship with Him, where we acknowledge those victories come from God. Listen, beloved, it's not your outline. It's being in line with God that brings His power. It's not your talent that brings victory. It is trusting in Him. It's not your personality that is so powerful. It's His power that changes lives. In verse number 47, he says, in all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. David said, hey, it's not about swords and spears. I may be small, but I've got God. If you're going to be victorious, remember God gives the victory. And lastly, this morning, I want to encourage you to remember the idea that the victorious, they know that it's worth it. They know that it's worth the fight. Look in verse number 50. 17, chapter 17, verse number 50. He says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." They were victorious. The victory is worth the fight. Every time the victory is worth the fight. Everyone here that has known and enjoyed victory in the past, you know it was worth the fight to achieve. It was worth the effort put in. When you've enjoyed victory, you know that it's worth the effort. Those that are around you are blessed when you win against the giants in your life. All of Israel won. If you continue to read the story, I mean, the joy and the celebration that took place, not just there on the battlefield, but even back home. If you get into chapter number 18 and read that, how the women and the people back in the town rejoiced and were praising them for the victories that they won. You know, when we win in the have victory in the giants in our lives, it helps everybody else too. It encourages others. Hey, it's possible. You know, when they saw him take down Goliath, every other one of those men were like, "Man, he just beat Goliath. Let's go get him." And they were all ready to go into battle then. They were all encouraged then. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when you have a victory in your life and God does something magnificent and powerful for you, that is an encouragement to everybody else. And they are encouraged and strengthened. And they say, "Hey, he did it. Come on, let's go. We can do it too." And everybody gathers in and rejoices in the victory. Some of you are in battles right now. You may have been facing a battle or a struggle for some time. Could I encourage you that the victory is worth the fight? The victory is worth the fight. Don't give up. Don't let the devil discourage you. In Hebrews, Moses tells us that he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Moses looked at the victory at the end of the finish line and he says, "Man, the reward that's coming is going to be worth it. I'm going to keep being faithful and keep doing what God wants because of the reward." Everyone who's ever experienced victory has proven that principle to be true. It's worth the fight. We could go around the room right now and we could ask you, give me a story and you tell me if it wasn't worth it. And the victory was worth the fight. If it was left to the rest of that crowd, the rest of those soldiers there, they would have gone as a whole nation into captivity. Don't let Satan tell you it's not worth it. Don't let Satan tell you you don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the skill to do it. You don't have the talent to do it. You don't have the spirituality to do it. Satan comes and plants those thoughts in your mind. You think, "Oh, I know other people can be victorious, but I don't know my Bible that good. Or I don't have the strength that this person has. Or I see them and I could never be like that Christian." Listen, those are just thoughts Satan's put into your head. Don't let him tell you that. You can be victorious. And it is worth it. The victory is worth the fight in your family. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your relationships. I know that some of the hardest battles we face are with loved ones. But the victory is worth the fight. The victory is worth the fight. Don't give up. The victory is worth the fight in your finances. I know finances are hard. They're a struggle. They weigh on us all the time. We've got to do that necessary evil and get up and go to work. You know, you got to go take care of those things. And then when we get to retire, then now you're on a fixed income. Now you don't have any extra money coming in, so now it's even worse, right? See, more struggles. It's such a struggle, but listen, if you do it right, it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Let me ask you about Christ. What if Christ would have decided the day before the cross, "I'm done fighting"? What if he would have went through all the beatings and the scourgings and all of that and just got to the place where they were going to put the cross on his shoulders and make him carry it up there, and he says, I can't go anymore. I'm done. Where would we be today? Aren't you glad that God, Jesus, God in the flesh, kept fighting? The victory that Jesus won on the cross for each and every one of us. Jesus himself said, he set his face like a flint for the joy that was set before him. I think the joy that was set before him was the salvation of his crowning creation, the souls of men. He wanted to see men saved. So he set that goal before him. And he went all the way to the cross. He kept fighting all the way until he won. And he said, it is finished. And it was worth it for him. Because now, through him, the world might be saved.